Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for, I believe, saving all the little ones. But I know the number that were aborted yesterday is probably 10 to 20 to 30, maybe more times, and got killed in the shootings there. And we get so concerned about 20 to 30 people getting shot, and we should, but we're talking about thousands a day being aborted, Lord, and the blood is on our hands. So we cry out against that. And we know no nation can escape judgment that is involved in those kinds of horrific sins, perversion and all. But here we are, Lord, and help us. The light through us should be brighter and brighter in the surrounding areas. And Lord, we know the power of the gospel. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. No matter how many try to stop it, it can't be stopped. By all the powers of the world cannot stop the gospel. So we thank you. We want to just praise your name this morning, and we want to say how excellent is your name. So lead us now in this time of prayer. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Psalm 8 today, praising the Lord and the excellence of his name. So I thought we might just start out with a Maranatha song here. It's Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. We're going to be talking about the name of God today in Psalm 8. So let's sing along.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty words.
Blessed be the Lord.
We're going to be, as I mentioned, in Psalm 8, and I know you're very familiar with that psalm, maybe one of the top four or five best known psalms, and we really have the glory of the Lord in creation. This is a pure praise psalm. There's no prayer request in this psalm that I can see, and I think it's good for us to, at times, just praise the Lord, right? You know, we don't need a lot of prompting for the gimmies, do we? Give me this, give me that, give me a, get me out of this. Oh, Lord, get me out of me. I mean, I don't know how many of you need to be taught how to pray the word me in your prayers, but most of us seem to have that coming pretty naturally. But there are times when I think we should just praise him, right? Just praise him. Just thank him for what he has done for us. Because it's not about us. It really isn't about us. It's about him, isn't it? And the further we can get from being that self-centered flesh, the closer we're going to be like him, aren't we? Well, this is on the instrument of Gath. They think that is a Gath guitar. I don't know if any of you have seen a Gath guitar or not, but anyway, it's on. That's maybe one of the instruments that David developed or whatever. No, but it is a, some, the old King James says Gathite, but it's of Gath. A Psalm of David. Now, I believe this must have been written while he was earlier in his life, because it's so much an outdoor psalm. And he was outdoors with the sheep in the early part of his life. And we'll have such a great section in here where he talks about the moon and the stars. You know, if you live in Los Angeles, you don't see much of the stars, right? You see the moon. You can see it, not really clearly, but you can see it. I mean, some nights pretty clear. But if you go away from the light pollution of a major metropolitan city, I mean, the sky is unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. Just think of David lying there in the shepherd's field at night, looking at that. Here's what he writes, as you know. O Lord, O Yahweh, our Lord, our Adonai, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. That would be enough for just a psalm, wouldn't it? I mean, you wouldn't need any more than that, would you? I mean, now we're already, just look at what it says. How, well, first it says, our Lord. I love it. It's not our Lord, the, but not mine. It's yours, but not mine. No, it's our Lord. And Jesus in the model prayer said what? Pray our Father. So when you're praying, pray to our Father in the name of Jesus. But here he's saying, O Lord, our Lord. I just so awesome. And then what? How excellent. Excellent. I looked that word up as it's being used here, and excellent is quite a word in the Bible. It's adir, and it means wide, large, powerful, famous, gallant, glorious, goodly, lordly, mightier, noble, principal, worthy. And all of those would fit here, wouldn't they? Maybe even more so. But, O Lord, how excellent is your name. Now, we name kids for identification primarily. Oh, let's call him, you know, I had an Uncle George, so let's call him George, or I had an Aunt Sally. I don't know if I had Aunt Sally's or not in those days, but, you know, call her Sally. And it's just identification. It doesn't really mean anything, generally. Names have a meaning, but you don't generally name a child because of the meaning. But in that culture, particularly in the Hebrew times, they would try to line up, or God would allow them, or whatever, I don't know, the character and the characteristics of a person by their name. So the name had two purposes. One was identification, of course, but the other was to character, describe their character and who they were. So when David is saying, how excellent is your name, he's describing in his own way, led by the Spirit, who the Lord is and what his characteristics are, right? So it's just not a name like meaning nothing. I mean, the name of Allah is a name of something, but the characteristics of Allah are not what you would want to worship. So we have here, how excellent is your name? Your name in all the earth. There's nobody in the earth or in the universe whose name is like that, is there? And you have set your glory above the heavens. That means your glory is over everything, everything, everything. Now he's going to look at the characteristics in kind of three different ways. The first is, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Think of that. Think of an infant. Out of those little mouths comes something that's more powerful than if we had the greatest orator, the most highly educated Stephen Hawking or whoever he is, in the world, the wisest man in the world, and he could go on for an hour. And if you bring the children's choir up afterward in just a few seconds singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, who would get touched the most? God will cause that to happen. And even the hardest and the most wicked heart is going to be touched by the simplicity of the children, by the simplicity of just believing. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? You know, when they wanted to keep the kids away from him because, you know, he's busy and so forth. And in that culture, it wasn't like today. Today we got the youth culture here. Kids rule. Kids reign. Right? Unfortunately. We've gone clear over the other way, and maybe that'll swing back. But we're trying so hard to I don't know what we're trying to do. But anyway. when I was young, it was much different. You would never see anybody, particularly under teenage years, and even then, we would never say Doug, we'd say Mr. Theis or Mrs. Theis. You didn't walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, Chuck," you know, some little two-year-old kid, and everybody go, "Oh, look how cute that is," you know. But in those days, the children were not well thought of, really, as far as they were to grow up, right? And you had to train them to grow up. They weren't already growing up then when they were little. But here he is saying, the awesomeness of God's name is so great that even in his name, the little ones are given strength to overcome, as I just mentioned in that example. Singing Jesus Loves Me would overcome the most brilliant, mature atheist in the world. Now, the power of God is the power of God. Whether it comes from a child or from it's God, it's powerful. So I'm not saying it's not powerful for people as well that are of older age. But here he is saying, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, pretty small, you have ordained strength, powerful name. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Thinking of a little child, even a nursing infant, silencing your enemies and your avengers. That's power in the name, isn't it? I think it's great. Power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of our Lord. And so now he, with that example of little ones, now he goes to creation. It's interesting, he didn't start in creation. He actually started with the little ones here, didn't he? But then he goes on to creation. And he says, when I consider the heavens. And again, I see this little shepherd boy down here at night watching the stars, and she's considering the heavens. Notice he doesn't say the sun. He just says the moon and the stars. So I think this is an outdoor nightly prayer. You know? Yeah. Not that you can't say it all the time. The moon and the stars which you have ordained. You have ordained them, the Lord. I just had a great conference in York, in England, and I did kind of the end of the conference, so I got to summarize the earlier five messages, which had all a message in themselves, and they were great. But we were on the theme of enduring faith and persevering in faith, and we were looking at Hebrews 11 and so forth. And so I don't think there's any greater persevering in faith that we have in terms of suffering than we have in the book of Job. So, and we just done, and some of you who are in the studies of the book of Job not too long ago. So I gave an overview of that. But in thinking about the moon and the stars, now you start to give examples of the 70 questions, you could be there for 2 months, right? So I was trying to pick out a few of the ones. But the only one I really did on the stars, because I was, you know, I wanted to do the body with the 100 trillion cells, in which we did, and 1 trillion snowflakes, no two alike, and a snowstorm. So then I mentioned just a little bit about the moon and the stars. And I was amazed to find out that it's estimated we have 100 billion galaxies in the universe. And in each galaxy, there's 80 to 100 billion stars. So that's 100 billion trillion stars or whatever it is. And in Scripture says God has named them all, right? You think you remember your name? No, I don't know. That's too many names in here. Oh, my, we got... No, he is awesome. And the work... Oh, then another one I didn't... you can go on this all day long, but now this will be the last example. Betelgeuse. Arcturus is huge, but Betelgeuse is even bigger. 1,000 times that of the sun. It's bigger than the orbit of Jupiter in our solar system. That's Betelgeuse. And that's not even the biggest star. But they can't even estimate how much that weighs. But do you know what speed that's going through interstellar space? 67,000 miles an hour. So the question to Job was saying, God, you know, you're no good. Why could just get you alone? We'd settle this in a hurry. And God says, I will ask you questions. So these are all, you want to be God questions. That's chapters 38, 39, 40, and 41 of Job. And it's a great study. It just, because he's making his revelation known. Here's a man, worms coming out of his legs, and he's just skin and bones, and he's painful. He's been that way for months, and all he's getting is miserable comfort from his friends. Yet here he's asked all these questions, And God never answers one question about why he's going through this suffering. Not one. So when you say, Lord, why? You may, but you probably won't get an answer because there's no peace in any of those answers. The only peace is trusting in him. And so we see then that Job would trust in him and say, first he said, I'm vile, and then he couldn't see anymore. And later he said, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about. And then he repented, and then God used him greatly to take care of the sin and those three miserable comforters, and then to pray with them. So we see here then, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And I just mentioned, if he's got 100 billion trillion stars that he knows all by name, and he's got you in mind, well, yeah, he'll think about me once every 1,000 eons. Is that what he says? Well, in Psalm 39, it says, his thoughts are basically continuous of us. He thinks of you continually. Can you imagine that? How about in the last week? Were you really happy he was with you and your thoughts every step of the way? Well, he was there, whether you were happy with that or not. I mean, some of my thoughts, I was, oh, Lord, I hope you didn't hear that one. But no, he hears, doesn't he? So we see then, you're mindful of him and the Son of Man that you visited him. You've made him a little lower than the angels. We're talking about us. And you've crowned him with glory and honor. And you've made man what? To have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his sheep. Just think about that. He not only thinks about man, but he's put man in dominion of this great creation he has put us on this earth, right? The stewardship that's inherent in that thing. And of course, Jesus said it even in a greater way in the New Testament when he said, what? All authority has been given to me. Now you go and make disciples of all nations. So we have a stewardship not only for the physical, of him, over the animals and all that stuff, but we have for the spiritual, don't we? And God's put that in you and in me. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Just totally amazing. So he says, you put all things under his feet, sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and that pass through the paths of the sea. So that's on land and on sea. And then he closes the same way he began. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now I just want to leave you with one closing thought and then we'll go to prayer. But this is how David praised the Lord with the revelation that he had. Now think about the revelation that we have, how much greater it is than what David had. David believed, I'm sure, in the Messiah one day, but he hadn't come yet. He didn't even know where he was going. He has a lot of questions about what happens to me when I die. I leave my whole soul in Sheol and so forth. We know where we're going after we die because we know what Jesus Christ has done. And we know since the day of Pentecost that every single believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So with our revelation, how should our praise be? If this is without all of that revelation, and David has that kind of a heart and praise for God, how is your praise? What is the praise psalm that you're writing today with your life? Or what did you write yesterday? Or what did you write the last week or month or year or whatever? And these are not questions for condemnation at all. There's no condemnation in Christ. But they're questions, what is the picture I'm painting, Lord? What is my psalm praise for you? Well, Father, we thank you for this great psalm and your name, how excellent it is in all the earth, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We so often get our mind on the things that are publicized. That is not your name. The publicized is the evil and the workers of iniquity and all of man's frailties and sin and shooting one another and all that. And that's all has a part, but that's not really the good news is none of that. The good news is that you came, Lord, and you died for our sins. And the miracle of you being absolutely just and yet to be the just and the justifier of sinful man, truly, truly remarkable. So we thank you for that. We thank you. Lead us in this time of prayer now as we have the opportunity to pray as you would lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can cry out, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we thank you that Psalmist would remind us, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And Lord, now what would that psalm have been if it had been written at the foot of the cross, Lord? So we praise you not only for being the God of the universe, but being the one who is absolutely just, and yet you are the just and the justifier of all of sinful men, Lord. We pray for the lost today, especially we pray for kings and those in authorities, Lord, that they would turn to you and they would know they are yours, Lord, and they will be accountable to you. Bless the church, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.